As an introduction this morning, many of us applauded last week when Pastor announced the Supreme Court ruling. And I, too, am thankful for that. I hope we're all aware, though, that this change will bring more division, more unrest, more rioting, more graffiti, more hatred, more anger to the streets of the United States than we've already seen in the past several years. Did anybody ever think that this was going to solve our problems as a nation? No, I'm sure you didn't. None of you are that naive either, okay? It's going to get worse, folks. It's going to get tougher and tougher to be a Christian. Did you know that? Do like this. You all know that. The Bible says this. This is nothing new. Rodney, a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Rodney said, I'm not telling you anything new. Well, I can echo that, Rodney. I'm not saying anything new. You all know what the Word says. In the last days will be perilous times. And Paul gives the list, and it's just horrendous. And we're living in those times. It appears to be the battle currently seems to be between pro-life and pro-abortion people. No, that's not where the battle is. That's the focus at the moment. The battle is between God and Satan. I want to see your hands if you knew that. Raise them up, keep them up. The battle is between God and Satan. You can put your hands down, you'll get tired. This is Satan fighting God. That's what this is. And so are the other battles. The other battles that are infringing on the freedoms that God gave to us. These are not from your neighbors. These are not from the other political party. Whichever one you happen to be part of. This is not that. Satan hates freedom. Absolutely hates it. Because he doesn't have any. He does not want you to be free. He wants you to be bound by addictions. He wants you to be bound by a tyrannical, however you say it, government. Satan hates the United States because we are a beacon of freedom in this world. So this battle is not against political parties. This is a battle against Satan, between God and Satan. In John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, Jesus said. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. The Apostle Paul says several times that we are living in the last days. Well, if the Apostle Paul was living in the last days, where do you think we are? Closer to the last days. Farther in the last days. How long will our world last? I have no idea. But we are living in the last days. In Matthew 24:12-13, Jesus said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. The love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. So I have an agenda. Yes, I do. I do have an agenda. That Faith Wesleyan Church and everyone here who calls themselves part of this church will be one of those standing firm at the end. That is my agenda. I do not want anyone who is associated with this church to be one of those that grows cold because of the wickedness. It's going to get worse, so you're ready for it, right? It's going to get worse. You're going to have higher taxes. You're going to have property taken from you. You're going to have all kinds of things that go wrong in this country. Believe me, it's coming. I believe it. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. I hope you enjoy this little talk that I'm doing this morning. I hope it's not all this depressing. I hope you enjoy your worship service this morning, and I'm glad you're here. But Aisha did something for me this week. She put my scripture on slides, and I think we're going to have those. Are we going to get that done? I have the whole text is on slides, and Greg is going to go through them. Now, I'm very serious when I tell you, okay, don't read it yet, okay? Listen to this part. I don't care if you don't hear a word I say. But as these slides come up, if you read it and reread it and reread it and memorize it, my job will be accomplished. I want you to walk out of here knowing Psalms 91. Because Psalms 91 has answers for us. Answers for us as a church. Okay? You don't need to listen to me. I'm just a guy. I'm like Rodney. I got nothing new to say. But I want you to hear this. I want you to see this. So don't fall asleep on me, okay? Yeah, Greg, let's go with the slides. This is Psalms 91 from the NIV. Yes, there it says NIV. No, ESV, sorry. We're going to kind of pick it apart. I'm going to comment just a little bit, but not a lot. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, I'm going to change this up. I'm going to read this from the NIV because that's where I got my notes according to this, okay? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Greg, what I want to do is I want to read the whole thing and then we'll come back to these individuals. So just keep flipping through here. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Verse 5, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Verse 9. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Now get verse 14 through 16. Just, man, dwell on this. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I don't need to preach if you read that. I don't need to say a word if we get that scripture. Well, I will a little bit anyway. Let's go back to the first slide. Can we get there? Greg told me he was having troubles with this, so I don't know how this is going to go. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Tracy and Aisha, I'm going to pick on you. They're working on their dwelling. Their dwelling is where they live. They're working on it. It's getting much improved. Their house is it done, Tracy? You said it was almost done. Almost done. Couple days. That's where they live. They don't work there. I mean, they work there, but that's not where their employment is. But when they need rest and when they need a place to crash, that's where we go. We go to our home. God is saying, he who lives, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. This can be a very pointed question, but do you come to church so that for 1 hour or hour and a half on Sunday morning you'd listen or talk to God? Is that your only contact with your Heavenly Father when you come to church? I'm so sorry for you if it is. I'm so sorry if that's your case. He who dwells in the shadow, he who lives with God, he who spends time with God, when he needs to rest, he rests in God. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, there's a lot of heat out in this world. Physical heat, yes, we're in summer, that's what we like. But there's a lot of other heat, and we just need rest. We'll rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, are we still there? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I'm making it a practice, and I hope you are as well. Whenever you meet someone, and almost always the turmoil and problems of this world come up, I hope when you are in conversation with people, I hope you say this. I will say of the Lord, I will say, he is my refuge. God is my refuge. I don't care what the political parties do. God is my refuge. Jesse Slaymaker's dad is my fuel man. And I think he probably gets tired of it, but when he comes to my place, I try not to let him leave without saying something. But God's in control of this, Jesse, or Ed, sorry. God's in control of this. God's got it. I will say, he is my refuge. I don't care which president gets elected. He's not my refuge. God is my refuge. I'm trusting in him. And then notice in verse 3, the psalmist says, after I proclaim that, after I say, he is my refuge, then what happens? God takes action. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. That's a trap they use to catch birds, okay? That's what this is talking about. To catch a bird with. I will save you from that trap and from the deadly pestilence. Go ahead and put COVID-19 in there if you like. Whatever. The deadly pestilence. I will save you from that. Verse 4. He will cover you. That says pinions. I think that's supposed to be feathers because it's under his wings. Does that mean pin feathers? No, it doesn't mean pin feathers. I don't know what pinions are. I didn't know we were going to have this in RSV, so I'm sorry. Under his feathers, the NIV says, I'm going to cover you under my feathers. The story is told, and I know you've all heard this, but I like the story because I have chickens, and I think most of you have heard this. In recent years, we've had terrible wildfires in western Nebraska and in western Kansas, just unbelievable damage and destruction. And it was like that only earlier, years before. The story is told of a farmer who had his place burned completely to the ground. There was nothing left of his yard. It was just gone. And unless it's happened to you, we can't imagine the devastation when you just have nothing left, when it's just all gone. And he was walking across his yard, and Barb says, I look at the ground too much when I walk. But this guy was walking on and looking at the ground. And he came to a little pile of ashes, basically. And he looked, and he said, oh, that's one of my chickens. That's my chickens. And then in distraught, he was distraught, and in his disgust, he just took his toe and he just bumped that pile of what was left of his chicken. And to his amazement, 8 little chickens came out from under that hen, live, happy, healthy, because mama had given her life for those chickens. And because he had 8 little chickens, nothing else, but he had 8 little chickens that were depending on him now. It gave him a reason to go on. We got to find you something to eat. And that's what God is saying here. He will gather you under his feathers, and he will protect you when the fire is blazing all around. Because you have work to do. You have to go on. But then notice, he turns away from the bird or chicken illustration. In verse, if I can find it, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. Semicolon, his faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Your shield and rampart. Shield and buckler, that says. Notice he goes from a bird illustration to a military illustration. The tenderness of a hen to a warrior who will not let you pass. He will be that for those who are dwelling in him. Not those who come by on Sunday morning. Not those who say, oh yeah, I was at church, and that's the end of your contact with God for the week. Uh-uh. Those who dwell. Those who spend time with God daily, all the time. He will provide that protection. Verse 5, are we there? You will not fear. If I could, this is a ridiculous question because you're all kind of prepared for it, but I'll ask it anyway. How many of you are afraid of anything? Anything, no matter what. I'm not asking you what you're afraid of. Are you afraid? I see several hands up. I see several nodding. Yep. My grandson, no, there's one. I thought my grandson had 2 hands up, but no, somebody else has 2 hands up. Hayden's got 2 hands up. Yeah. Look at this, verse 5. You will not fear. You will not fear. Now, I want you to notice that he's not saying, let's see, the terror of the night, arrow that flies by day, the pestilence, or the plague. He's not saying they're not there. They are there. The pestilence is there. The arrow that flies by day is there. All of those terrible things are there. But if you make the Most High your dwelling place, you will not fear. Do you get that? You can live without fear if you're putting your trust in him. That's awesome. That's incredible. Verse 7, 1,000 may... This gets a little murky. I'm going to be real honest with you. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. This may be the place to ask, because I've asked it many times, you probably have too. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do tragedies happen to godly, godly people? Doesn't this say that it won't come near me? Isn't that what it says? You will only look with your eyes and see. You won't experience it. I've struggled with that, and I've got a half a page written about that. I will say this. If someone outside of Christ, and someone outside of the church is stricken with disease and dies. What is their eternal situation? If someone does not have Jesus Christ as their Savior, I'm going to be blunt with you. If someone does not have Jesus Christ as their Savior and they die of COVID-19, what is their eternal situation? The Bible says they will be forever in eternal punishment. I'm sorry, that's what it says. Being away from God and not having accepted the work of Jesus on the cross, you or anyone else will then experience what was prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell. I'm sorry, that's the truth. Anybody not want to hear the truth this morning? Close your ears. That is the truth. If you have not accepted Christ and you are not dwelling under the protection of God, that's what your destination is. Okay? Part of the problem with our society is we tend to think of this life as the goal. Barb and I listen to the funerals on the radio every day at noon. Oh, that one was only 55. Oh, that one was 75. That one was 94. Wow. Because we tend to think, well, 94, that was enough years. He'd just as well go. No, that's cruel. 55, whoa, what happened to them? That must have been an accident. 27, wow, what happened? We tend to think of this life as the goal. It should not be. God gave us these lives, but they're not ours, are they? I'll hate myself for this, but I want to say it. I have seen some of the news clips during the Roe versus Wade decision. And I've seen some of the posters and some of the signs. And they say, this is my life, this is my body, blah, 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 this is mine. No, it isn't. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So honor God with your body, the Bible says. So in answer to that, why does bad things happen to good people? I know there is extreme pain when we lose someone. Ah, I hate it. But think of that person who knew the Lord and is gone. Think of that person. What are they experiencing now? Unbelievable joy. Unbelievable comfort. Unbelievable protection. Unbelievable bliss. Yes, we have pain because we're here, but it's our pain. It's not those who have left. And so while we cling to these lives, and sometimes we make it too much our goal, I'm going to live to be 100. Oh, I'm going to make it. Why? I'm going to share this story. This is funny. A man went to the doctor one day, and the doctor said, oh my, he said, you got high cholesterol. Whoa. And your sugar way out of whack. And he's 56 or 7 years old. You're going to die if you don't take care of this stuff. And his wife went in with him, and she said, oh, honey, we're going to fix this. And so she puts him on a diet. I mean, it's awful. I mean, it's back up to the oats bin and eat. I mean, that's what this diet was. 10 years, this guy got healthy and he got his cholesterol down and all this and slender and everything. And his wife died. And about 2 years later, he also died. And when he got to heaven, he met his wife, and he walked up to the table for his first meal, and it was spread with everything that you would ever want to eat on this planet. I mean, the richest meats and the most cholesterol-laden stuff you've ever seen. And he looked at his wife and he said, "Honey, you tortured me for 10 years to keep me from this?" Because we cling to this life. Not that we should waste our bodies, not that we should abuse them. I'm not saying that at all. But we cling to this life as this is it. But it isn't. And so when I ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Because God has so much better for us. And it's beyond, some of it at least, is beyond this life. While long life may be a benefit of living a life for the Lord, it still does not compare to, quote, being absent from the body and present with the Lord. Verses 9 and 10. Oh my goodness. The psalmist is speaking from experience here. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. I want to ask in general, how many of us walk around with this testimony? Do you walk around with a testimony to those around you that God is my refuge? I shared with you, I try to, when somebody comes on the yard and the discussion goes to whatever and it sounds grim and gloomy, but God is my refuge. I try to do that. Are you doing it too? I hope so. What is your testimony? What is your testimony? What does your face say? What does your demeanor say when you're out in public? Oh boy, this is really tough. And it's going to pass. The preacher said it's going to get worse. Oh, boy. He is my refuge. I don't care what political parties do. My God is my refuge. And he's in charge. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion, the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Again, I wanted to mention, this is Sunday all around the world, of course. And today, thousands of Christians have lost their property. Many have lost their lives. Many of the churches have been burned. I mean, I'm not quoting news. This is just what's been going on. How can he say this when all of this is going on? It's not going to happen to you because God's protecting you. How do you hold things in your life? Hold out your hand. If Jeremy was feeling really generous and he came around and he put a $100 bill in each of your hands, everyone, what would you probably do? What would your reflex be? Wouldn't it? Most of you would say, "Ha, mine." You know, it's really hard to get hurt if somebody takes something from an open hand. If you're holding everything that you have in your life in an open hand and somebody takes it from you, it doesn't cause you a lot of pain, does it? But if you're holding it and they got to fight you and they twist and pull and wrestle and they're finally going to get it, you're going to be hurt, you're going to be physically hurt, and you go, "Oh, I lost." But if you hold that, what you have, with an open hand, and somebody comes along and takes it, "Oh, Jeremy will put another one in there." No, God will. So when he says that nothing will come near, no, the disaster will not harm you. You may lose your land. You may lose your house. Oh, wouldn't that be awful? I told Barb when we were working on our stairway, I said, "You know, we might be doing this for somebody else. We thought we might be moving." Wouldn't that be awful to lose your home? Several houses burned this winter and this summer. It's awful. But if you're holding that with an open hand, it doesn't hurt nearly so much to lose it. And then quickly, got to get down to the fun part here. Because he loves me, verse 14, I have a whole deal on this lion and the serpent, but we don't have time for it, so maybe I'll do it some other time. Because he loves me. Because he loves me. It was after breakfast on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus kind of got Peter off to the side. This was after Jesus' resurrection. And he asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, in our English, he said, "Well, of course. Of course I love you. Okay, well, feed my sheep." But in just a few moments, Jesus asked Peter again, "Peter, yeah? Peter, do you love me?" "Well, of course, Jesus. You know that I love you. Yes, I love you." "Okay, well, take care of my sheep." But the third time, "Peter, yes, Lord, do you really love me?" The scripture says that Peter was hurt because he knew the correlation between the three times that he denied Jesus. He knew what was going on. And he tells Jesus, he said, "Lord, you know all things. But yes, you know that I love you." I want to ask you this morning, because nobody else can answer this but you. Do you love God? Do you love God? I can't answer that for you. And I read this in Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied, "Love, this is the commandment." What's the greatest commandment? "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment," Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with all of your... I'm asking you this because I have struggled with this probably for the last 10 years. I have been working through this statement. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. And I don't mean that it's weighed me down, but I've been working on this. What does it mean to love my God with all of my heart? I got work to do. I got farming. I got family. I got all this stuff. And I don't think about God in that sense all day long. I'm trying to keep pivots running. I'm trying to do this other stuff. But the Bible doesn't say unless you have other things to do. It says love the Lord your God with all of your heart. And then he says with all of your soul. And with all of your mind. Do you love God like that? If you're like me, you can't really answer at this moment. I don't know. Do I love God with all of my heart? With all of my soul? And then one other translation says, with all of my strength? And this one, with all of my mind? Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Don't think for a moment that your troubles are going to disappear. Even though it says that, it seems to say that in the first part of this psalm. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him from that trouble. And honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I hope you have that memorized. I hope you Now, I hope you listened a little, but you can shut me out. I hope you memorize the scripture. He who dwells with the Almighty.